Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, praising you as the Lord of the harvest. Forgive us for the times we have focused more on the problems around us than on the opportunities you've placed before us. Forgive us for becoming discouraged, distracted, or indifferent. Renew our faith this morning and remind us that you are still at work in the world today. Lord, we pray for those who are far from you. We pray that those who are searching for meaning, struggling in loneliness, burdened by guilt, trapped by addiction, weighed down by anxiety, or wandering without hope, draw them to yourself and reveal your love and grace to them. We pray for our community, our nation, and our world. Bring peace where there is conflict, healing where there is brokenness, and reconciliation where there is division. We remember those serving in our military and those who have sacrificed for the freedoms we enjoy. Watch over them and their families, we pray. And Lord, as you instructed your disciples, we ask you to send workers into the harvest. Begin with us. Open our eyes to the opportunities around us this week. Help us to be faithful in the fields you have placed before us, in our homes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and our friendships. And now, as we prepare to hear your word, soften our hearts, strengthen our faith, make us willing servants of your kingdom. We ask all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. Last week, I got quite a few disappointing comments because I did not show up in the kilt after being in Scotland. But I thought I'd show you a picture. Now, one of those two is really good looking in a dress. Anyway, I'll let you decide which one. Quick shout out this morning. We were dedicated a young girl last week, Grace Ann Marr, little baby. Isn't that sweet? And into the faith here at Celebration Church. If you have a child that you would like to have dedicated to God, please contact the church and let us know. All right. This morning, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, starting at verse 35. Then Jesus went about the cities and villages. Oh, by the way, the lovely blonde is not here this morning. She's in Arizona playing grandma with our grandkids, Adrian and Santi. Adrian, I call him Chico. Santi, I call the Kraken. Release the Kraken. You should see the pictures, they're hilarious. Everybody's smiling except for the Kraken. He's always irritated by something. Anyway, he'll grow out of it, I hope. Amen. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and sickness. When the crowd saw he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What do you see when you look at people? One of the fascinating things about human beings is that two people can look at exactly the same thing and somehow see things entirely differently. One person sees a problem, another sees an opportunity. One sees failure, the other will see potential. One sees a weed, the other sees a flower. My wife and I have demonstrated this principle many times. We can walk into a room, I look around and think, looks fine to me. And she looks around and sees 17 things that need immediate attention. I've shared this story when I talk with couples about how we see things differently. Men tend to not notice a lot of details. I share the story of our first Christmas together. I had mentioned to her that I'd love to get a pinball machine someday, you know, not a video game, but one of those big Yo Mama, you know, machines. And so she went out and found one and perfectly restored and had it delivered to the house, put it in a corner and threw blankets on it. Now it looks exactly like a pinball machine with blankets on it. For 2 weeks, I never noticed it. She had the big reveal on Christmas morning. She videotaped it. Let's look at the video.
This was me sitting out plain sight?
Uh-huh. You went by it all the time. And you have not seen that. Mark, look at me. Have you not seen this?
Apparently, I have issues. Well, in our text today, Jesus sees something the disciples are missing. He saw a harvest, an opportunity to bring the kingdom of God to people. Matthew tells us when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Notice what Jesus sees. He doesn't see statistics. He doesn't see demographics. He doesn't see political categories. He sees people, hurting people, confused people, lost people, people carrying burdens, people wondering if anybody cares. Matthew says they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Let's be honest, most of us don't naturally look at troubled people and think, harvest, opportunity. We tend to think problem, annoyance, threat, somebody else's responsibility. Yet Jesus looks at the crowd and says, the harvest is plentiful. Not hopeless, not impossible, not beyond redemption, but a plentiful harvest, an opportunity. The disciples saw crowds. Jesus saw souls. The disciples saw problems. Jesus saw possibilities. The disciples saw obstacles. Jesus saw opportunity. How one views things is important because it changes everything. Today, far too many Christians spend lots of time talking about how bad things are. Families are struggling. Culture is confused. People seem further from God than ever before. And all of that may be true, but Jesus would say, the harvest is plentiful. There are great opportunities to minister to people. Reminds me of the story of back in the early 1900s, this shoe company sent two salesmen to Africa. After a few weeks, the first salesman calls up and says, bring me home, forget it, it's hopeless. People don't even wear shoes over here. The second salesman calls back and says, send me everything you got. Nobody wears shoes over here. When looking at the crowds, Jesus saw a great opportunity. He saw a plentiful harvest. And the harvest is still plentiful today. The world has changed, but human nature has not. People are still searching. People still wonder, why am I here? Does my life matter? Is there hope? Can I be forgiven? What happens when I die? People may reject church. They may reject religion. They may even reject Christians. But deep down, they are still hungry for meaning, still hungry for purpose, still hungry for God. There are countless people quietly asking spiritual questions. There are still marriages needing hope, still parents needing wisdom, still young people needing direction, still elderly people wondering about eternity. The harvest is plentiful. Imagine a farmer standing in a full field of ripe corn, and instead of harvesting it, he spends all day complaining. The weather isn't perfect. The economy isn't perfect. God knows the government isn't perfect. The market isn't perfect. Meanwhile, the harvest sits there waiting. At some point, somebody has to stop complaining and start harvesting. Churches sometimes resemble that farmer. We become experts at identifying problems while ignoring opportunities. The problem is not the harvest. Jesus doesn't say the harvest is scarce. He says the problem is the workers are too few. That's the problem, not the harvest, the lack of workers. Notice he doesn't say the workers are untalented, the workers are uneducated, the workers are underfunded, just as there are too few workers making themselves available was the problem. Here's the great barrier to being a worker: pride. When Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, he wasn't talking about a shortage of talented people. He wasn't talking about a shortage of educated people. He wasn't talking about a shortage of capable people. He was talking about a shortage of workers. One of the reasons workers are few is because most jobs are beneath our dignity. Let's be honest. Most opportunities to serve the church are not very glamorous. Nobody dreams as a child, when I grow up, I want to hand out a communion tray. Nobody goes to college thinking, my life's ambitions to stand at the door and say, good morning, welcome to church. Nobody's posting on social media, living the dream, change diapers in the church nursery today. The reality is that most service opportunities require very little skill. How much education does it take to smile? How much training does it take to hold a door for someone? How much expertise is required to hand someone a communion tray? How many advanced degrees are needed to stack chairs? Well, none. In fact, most opportunities for service are so simple, they can almost feel insulting. And it's exactly why we are called servants. The kingdom of God is built largely through ordinary people doing ordinary things with extraordinary faithfulness. Jesus didn't say the harvest is plentiful, but the experts are few. He said the workers are few. A worker is someone willing to do what needs to be done, not because it's impressive, not because it's glamorous, not because anybody notices, but because it helps someone else. Now, there are some ministries in the church that do require significant skill, operating these camera systems in here, and the video systems, managing the sophisticated lighting systems here. You ever look at the soundboard back there? It looks like the flight system to a 747 jumbo jet. There's a lot of buttons back there. Playing these instruments, very talented people. Leading worship, teaching. These things take talent and training. But let's be honest. The vast majority of ministry opportunities require one very simple thing. Humility. And humility is a lot harder to find than talent. Humility says, how can I help? Humility asks, what needs to be done? Humility just desires to be useful. Being a servant is why Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Think about it. The Son of God could calm storms, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. Yet on the night before his crucifixion, he wrapped a towel around his waist and washed dirty feet. At one point, the disciples were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. Jesus showed them what greatness actually looks like. The kingdom of God runs on servants. Not celebrities, not superstars, servants. And the beautiful thing is anybody can serve. The youngest person in this room can serve. The oldest person in this room can serve. The most highly educated person here can serve. The barely educated one here can serve. The wealthy can serve. The poor can serve. The talented can serve. The untalented can serve. The only real qualification for service is a willing heart. The harvest is plentiful. The workers, Jesus said, are few. Not because the work is difficult, because much of the work requires us to lay down our pride and simply say, how can I help? This should encourage all of us, because God's primary concern isn't finding extraordinary people. He's looking for extraordinary people. And God uses ordinary people. He's always used ordinary people throughout the Bible. Look at Moses. He stuttered. David was overlooked. Gideon was afraid. Jeremiah was too young. Peter was impulsive. Paul had enemies everywhere. Yet God used them all. The qualification was never perfection. It was simply availability. You are standing in the middle of your harvest field. Many Christians think ministries happen somewhere else, Africa, Asia, South America, the mission field. And while those are all legitimate callings, the truth is your mission field may begin tomorrow morning at work, at school, at the coffee shop, at family gatherings, at the gym, at the golf course, at the cabin, at the neighborhood barbecue. God has already surrounded with people. You really don't need to find a harvest field. The reality is, look up. You're standing in one. You don't have to be perfect. Thank goodness for that. If perfection were required, we'd all be disqualified. You simply need to be faithful. Keep praying. Keep loving. Keep showing up. Keep pointing people to Jesus. And the first assignment is simply prayer. This surprises a lot of people. Jesus sees this harvest and immediately says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray that he will send people into the harvest. Prayer reminds us whose harvest it is. It's not ours, it's God's. People matter to God more than they matter to us. God loves your neighbors more than you do. God loves your children more than you do. God loves your coworkers more than you do. God is already working before you show up. When we pray, God begins changing our perspective. Suddenly, we start noticing people. We see needs. We become aware of ministry opportunities. We overhear conversations. We witness doors opening. Harvest work isn't very glamorous. It's often very slow, messy, tiring. You may pray for years before seeing results. You may invite someone to church 10 times before they come. You may share your faith and see no immediate response, but don't give up. Farmers understand something a lot of Christians forget, and that's that harvest doesn't happen overnight. The seed needs time. Growth takes time. God works on his timetable. So in conclusion, when Jesus looked at the crowds, he didn't see hopelessness. He saw a harvest. He didn't see a lost cause. He saw an opportunity for redemption. He didn't see people beyond saving. He saw people worth pursuing. Today, the world tells us things are falling apart. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. The world around us gets frustrated and says, give up. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. The world says nobody wants God anymore. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. So let us pray. Let us work. Let us serve. Let us love. Let us give. Let's stop focusing only on the weeds and start noticing the harvest, because the Lord of the harvest is still at work and the fields are still white. Amen. We're going to have our time now for communion. Our ushers are going to get ready to serve us. As we turn our attention now to why we're here because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross. His blood was shed. His body was broken so that our sins would be paid for. We could have redemption and experience complete forgiveness for all our sins. That's how great God's mercy is. And when it comes to partaking in communion, Celebration Church has an open communion policy. In other words, you don't have to be a member of our church to join with us. If you're a believer in Jesus and want to focus on the fact that Jesus bled and died for us, that's all you need to do. But the Bible says before we do this, we should all pause, examine our own hearts. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we've done or by what we've left undone, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. While people are reflecting, maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, you know, I've never really experienced God like you guys are talking about, like you're singing about. Well, you can right now in your own words. Just open your heart, whisper to Jesus, say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can take your first steps of faith with God here this morning. Amen.